Well, the last time we taught, we were looking in the areas concerning God blessing, you know, financially. One thing we really dealt with is the fact God has a plan for the sinner to gather up money for us. See, it's to begin to change your attitude. This is one thing that we got to do. I got that revelation many, many years ago, decades and decades ago. I got that revelation and I realized it's one of the things today is rich people, the church, that's one group that a lot of the church world hates is rich people. And we shouldn't be hating anybody, but they look at people that have money, and usually it's because those people are a bit lovers of money, and they don't want anybody else to have any. You know, I should have it, or somebody else should have it. And we need to change this whole attitude about money and about things. If God said he gave them the job to gather for me, then I should be happy. Hallelujah. Don't let it bother me. You know, don't worry what the world is doing. Our job is to preach Christ to them. Our job is not to be the critic. They are already judged. The sinner is judged already. He's not going to be judged. Before I got born again, there was a judgment against me, and it was eternal damnation. That was the judgment. That's what it was. And unless I change camp, that judgment stood. And it's today, for every sinner, that judgment stands. Our job is to try to get people to shift kingdoms. That's what we want. We want them to leave the kingdom of Satan under that judgment and come to life in Christ Jesus and be removed from the judgment of God. So that's what we're doing. If people aren't doing that and are not concerned about that, then there's a good chance Christ is not in their lives, or at least the fact of it is they don't know a thing about him. You know, there's many people I think got saved, but there's loads and loads and loads, and I would say a high percentage of Christians know very little about Christ. They know very little about things. They're stumbling around and doing stuff. They have their ideas of Christ rather than what the Bible and the God reveals to us. It's one of the things that we really need is this. The Holy Spirit's the revealer of Jesus. And let's just say this. I'll just be blunt because it's true. Back in 1989, the Holy Spirit and I had a great conversation one day, and it was really a supernatural thing when the Holy Spirit talked to me. And it's one thing as I found this out. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. He's the revealer. Most of Christianity does not know the Holy Spirit. Most people are not led, the average Christian, and you need to understand this and what you're dealing with. The average Christian that you deal with is led by emotions and feelings, mostly, and their own mental ideas of things. They are not led by the Spirit. I'm not saying that to be critical. They don't know. That's the way most churches operate in that manner. They're walking by their ideas of things. They don't really know. And as I thank God that I did learn that from Kenneth Hagin, as I learned early. In fact, one of the first series of teachings I got from Kenneth Hagin, other than some books, I went and got his first set of teachings, was how to be led by the Spirit. And when I listened to the first tape and I went and put the second tape in my tape player to listen to it, the Spirit of God spoke to me and very clearly. He spoke up in my spirit very clearly and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. About 10 years after that, he made this statement to me one time about that. He said, 80%, this is what the Spirit of God said to me, 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. But now they consider themselves wonderful, great Christians, but they have never learned. Now, many of them, they've never been taught. They don't. Most churches you'll ever go to, you'll never be taught how to be led by the Spirit. You won't learn how to listen to your inner man. You won't learn how to do that. That won't be part of the deal going on. You'll be taught all kind of their traditional ideals and things and stuff that you do, all the things you do to try to get God to like you. Because they're not even told for sure. You know, God loves you, but he not might like you. So, and when you do something wrong, you know, then he don't like you anymore. So you got to get this all fixed so he'll like you again. And people live these lives out here. And so they follow traditions. They do certain works. And if I do these works, then God likes me. Well, God likes me. He loved me when I was a complete, total idiot. But sometimes I wonder about how I've turned out. But anyhow, But he loved me then. Why would all of a sudden I have to be perfect and do all these wonderful things to get him to like me? He liked me when I was lost in sin and wasn't in his camp at all. Because church don't know very much at all. They don't know things. Most people operate by works instead of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we want to look at these things because we're going to go into something today. Dealing in this area, we talked about keys to the move of God. But one of the things is dealing in the area is your faith. We're going to talk about covenant. Because you need to understand this. If you're going to be approached God, if you're going to be bold in His presence concerning praying, concerning believing, whether it's for finances and the power of God, you've got to understand position. Your position. And we need to understand what covenant is, and we're going to talk about things and look at covenant, because this is important. If you understand covenant, number one, it will bless your life, but the whole purpose really of covenant is not just you. Covenant, if you understand covenant, you'll find this out, is the fact, and we'll deal with this. Covenant does not deal with just you. It deals with the offspring of you. Covenants are not made for a period of time. God's covenant made through Abraham, we're walking in it today. Why? Covenants pass on. See, one of the first things that God taught me about covenant was this. I didn't understand a whole lot of much at that time. In fact, I was only born again for a few months. And somebody came along, and there was a 19-year-old boy whose parents were Christian, and he died, and he was not a Christian, and he was lost. And I just remember, I just thought about that. I thought, man, what do you deal with as a parent? Your child just went off this earth, and they're lost for eternity. And I remember this. I can still tell you, I can see myself standing in the bedroom on the second floor, 321 Canal Street, and I was standing there, and I can tell you, I was standing at the end of the bed, and I'm looking, I'm back away from the window, but I'm just sort of looking out the window, and I'm not really looking at anything out the window. I'm thinking in my mind, my God, your child dies and goes to hell. You're a Christian. You're going off to heaven, and your child's spending eternity. And I just said this. At that time, Wanda wasn't born again, and we're going to have Elena was born in March of that year. I was born again in January and March. But I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, and I was all sincerity. I said, Lord, I don't want to know if I want to go to heaven and my whole family's going to end up in hell. I mean, it's the first to really grab me of that is the fact that, my, if your family dies, I don't want this to happen. But I didn't know what to do about it. And I can tell you this, I was in a lot of church services in my life, and ain't none of them had an answer for none of it. They didn't know what to do with it. They just taught religion. Well, I'm standing there, and I'll never forget, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, go read the 128th Psalm. This is the first time that I had heard the voice of the Lord. It was like other times I've heard God speak inside of me, and I heard things. This time was the first time I heard the voice of the Lord. It was like somebody was standing in the room with me and said, go read the 128th Psalm. And it came from behind me, and I spun around to look, and there's nobody there. And I remember thinking this. Is there a 228 Psalms? I didn't know. You know, I'm studying to read the Bible, but I ain't read the whole thing yet. But I turned around and thought, is there 100? Well, I found out then there was 150 of them, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know that. So I went over and read the 128 Psalm. And this was the gist of what he wanted me to get, was this. Because it says that the man who fears the Lord and walks in his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house and his children as olive plants around his table. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me when I read that, he said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. Well, see, I didn't realize what he was talking was covenant. You see, God guaranteed Abraham's descendants. He made a covenant with him. Now, did all his offspring live and carry on right and do what's right? No, they didn't. But you know what? They were all blessed by his covenant. God took them bunch of heathens out of Egypt and took them down the land. Now, we know that they weren't. But what is it? The blessing stayed because of Abraham. And I realized this, and I understood this from the time I first got born again. The success of my family counted on what I did. I'm the leader of this covenant in this house. I am. And when I understood that, I understood this. My kids are going to walk with God. My kids are going to follow God. This is the blessing. See, when I turned around and first got saved, this reminded me because I said to the Lord, Lord, how come I'm alive? I want to know why I'm alive. I did things to die, drug overdose, did different things. I did things with cars that people would probably die in most of the time doing. I did crazy stuff. And you know, I'm there, I'm alive. And yet I knew people around me. They died. They left this earth and they didn't do near what I did. And I said, God, why am I here? He said, you're alive because your father, he was righteous before me. Well, what was he righteous? He sure wasn't a perfect man. He was a man of faith. He was in the covenant. See, we need to understand this. This is one of the things we're dealing with in the church world today. We have all these divisions among races and stuff in Christianity because they don't know the Bible. We are a nation of people. We are not a nation of people by our physical heritage. Your physical heritage ain't got spit to do with the kingdom of God. You were born into a kingdom. You, whether you like it or not, you're born again from a Jew. So get over it. My heritage is Jewish. I ain't Irish. I ain't proud of those drunks. But see, when you get around there, this stuff, you need to understand, you're limited in your spiritual life thinking like the church thinks today. You'll never be real spiritual. I'm sorry, I'm in the kingdom of God. The only way that you can become Abraham's descendant is to be born into his race. Nobody else could. To become into the kingdom of God, you have to be born into it. You get that? Born into this thing. See, you were born into, as being God's child. It is being born into this kingdom. That's your race. In this earth, when we put all this, anything of race and that comes up, I don't like it. I have never liked it. I don't like any of it going on. Because number one, it is a sin for Christians to use this racial stuff. It's like, you know, well, this certain race, they do, they're like this and that. In the New Testament, we're told about the fact that people didn't, what they're not supposed to do is say about so-and-so, they're, you know, some kind of people, they're this. It says, you don't do that to people. You don't do it. New Testament tells you don't do that stuff. When you divide by race, you and the devil have got a thing going. You throw this race junk out. It has no place in the church. The church should never, like, you know, it's what they do today, you know, the political parties. Well, they're a liberal, these are a conservative. I am neither liberal or a conservative because, you know, there's a lot I don't like about any of them. They're camps. Well, I'm in the church camp. That's my camp. That's mine. You got to decide whose side you on. And there's only two kingdoms. Oh, in men's, there's all kind of kingdoms in this earth. And they're full of men's plans and ideas. Amen. But we belong to one kingdom. This is my constitution.
That's right.
Amen.
Nobody would be doing half of what they're saying if they're a Christian. They wouldn't be doing half of what they're saying if they'd be following this. You don't have the right to say anything you want to say.
Amen.
And people today are doing this stuff, you know, well, you know, and it's terrible going on, but we don't realize this. We're in a kingdom because of this covenant. This covenant we have is such a phenomenal covenant. I don't know why anybody else wants to go into all this other stuff. I have no clue. No clue why they want to get into all this fleshly junk and that kind of stuff. And then play like, we're going to believe God. No, you ain't. You ain't going to get involved in all this nonsense and craziness and turn around and believe God. It isn't going to work. There's principles and things. There's things with this covenant. Now, I want you to understand about a covenant. A covenant is a two-way street. Most Christians, their covenant is a one-way street. It's what all can God give me. God has the right under covenant. If I'm in covenant, God has the right to ask me of anything. If I feel that, number one, he's given me the right to ask him, but he has also the right to ask me. This is why the covenant don't work for many. Many people's faith don't work. because God can't ask them of nothing. It's all about what God can give me. And it's not sit down and say, well, God, what you're allowed to ask of me. You know, people sit down. You know, God, if I want God to get money to me, he has every right to ask me for money. He has every right to it. He has every right. If I want his time, he has every right to ask me for my time. He has every right. See, we don't get into covenant. Christians get into this salvation thing, which is a one-sided salvation. I got salvation and God's got to give me all this stuff. You know, that is babyhood Christianity. People are, and most of the churches in it, it's a babyhood Christianity. It's being children. I want to come to the place where I'm a worker together with him.
Amen.
Jesus is my boss.
Hallelujah.
If he's not your boss, he is not your Lord. This is why many Christians are a failure in their life, because Jesus never becomes Lord. They want to have their life. Well, I had my life for 30 years. Boy, that was a good one. Good God. 30 years, I ran my life. I was the boss. Oh, man. I'm glad to have somebody in charge that's smarter than me. I would think the rest of the body of Christ would like it too, but it seems they don't. They don't like the idea. They still think they're smart. I gave up Ed being smart a long time ago.
Amen.
The only wisdom that I have ever gotten has been from God. That's it.
Hallelujah.
I never had wisdom. Never had wisdom. I didn't, you know, you could teach me as much as you want. I'd just make a dumb decision. And so, you know, we you know, when the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. Is that true, or is that just a nice religious statement? I see people go, well, in him we live and move and have our being. Well, I just like this. Well, when are you going to start living that?
Amen.
You see, these are revelations. Understand about, there is nothing in this book that God just put in there for no reason at all. This book. God never was wordy. We know this. This is the book we got from him. He wasn't real wordy, was he? Why would we want God to talk more when we don't even listen to this thing? What would we want more out of him for? It's like our Congress. You know, they get together every year and make all these new laws. Never live up to none of them in the past. Why make new laws? What are you doing this for, you idiots? We got 10 billion laws out here, and we don't even know what they are, half of them. We don't live by it, and let's make some more. This is mankind. And you go from church to church, and all of them got their rules and regulations and all their stuff going, and there's 10 million laws and rules. They don't live by half of them, or even a quarter of them, or a tenth of them, and they want to, let's make a new one. I figure God, I've gotten so much wisdom from this one book. And believe me, I've read a lot of books in my life. But I'm going to tell you what, this book here, I study it and learn all the time. In fact, today I was doing some reading, saw some revelation things. I thought, oh my God, I've read this over so many darn times. And I finally saw it. But I didn't see it because I'm smart. It was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to me. The most amazing things about the Holy Spirit, let me just say this about him. The Holy Spirit is like, he's one teacher who like, he starts you off from kindergarten the whole way through, and I don't know, I guess you never graduate, but you can go through God College, you know, whatever it is, you only have one teacher. Now, people teach, but they teach by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a teacher. That's what he does. And he teaches, and he can take a person who knows nothing and teach them on a level where they can learn. He can take you to first grade and he can teach you just some basic things, and, you know, Dick and Jane books and stuff like that.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, he can take you through that. But as you grow and go, he could turn around, take you over and start showing you things. And you need to understand this. There's things that you will never learn till you learn certain basic things. He's a builder. See, many Christians are trying to learn beyond where they're at. You can't do it. Christians want to believe God for things where they're not at. They haven't learned how to even get there yet. They're trying to believe for things. I found that was building. That's why, like Wanda and I had finances. You know, we started off, we didn't start off the top of nothing. Why? Because didn't know enough about it to start off the top of nothing. Why? Because it required my faith and her faith. That's what required. Well, you know, We were Dick and Jane faith people. That's what we were. You know? I ran into people and that stuff. When we started out, we were better off than some people. And they're turn around and they just get born again and they're believing God for $1 million. And I thought, they're a bunch of idiots. They ain't never getting $1 million. Being stupid, you know, it's like, it don't make any sense. But you have to learn it. And as I built and I learned over time and we learned and how to do things and walk in things, the Holy Spirit revealed more and more. It's like that in 2014 when the Holy Spirit revealed to me a higher level to walk concerning finances. He didn't do that 20 years before. Why? I was not ready for it 20 years before. I didn't have the... When I learned how to walk in the revelation where I was, he could take me to a higher place. You know, you ain't sixth grade and you're going to college. You know? It's just people act like they are. We got people in college ain't even as good as a sixth grader. You got money, they'll take you in college. They don't care. As long as you got money and they can make money off you, that's all they care about. They don't care if that sheepskin you got, well, what is sheepskin anyhow? It's a piece of paper with some toilet paper they had left over and they write on it and give it to you. But they don't care anymore. It's about money, you know, and things. The Holy Spirit's not like that. It's a wonderful teacher. But he'll take you along as you learn. And see, if you're not going to be a person that, you know, if you're going to think you got to eighth grade, you know, spiritually, and you think that's where you have to be, he won't teach you beyond that. You think you're at, you got to stay in school. See, I've stayed in school all my Christian life. And so you learn more and more, and he can open doors to you to see things and understand things. That's the way he does it. That's just the way it is. And it has nothing to do with people's mentality. If you're willing to let him teach you, he can take you as far as you want to go. As far as you want to go. I'll tell you, I met people that could hardly read and they had trouble with reading and stuff. But I'm going to tell you, their willingness to learn is amazing what God revealed to them. Stuff they could see and understand and know. People thought they were so smart, they ain't even playing in the same ball field with them. You know, a minister has a doctorate and said this to me. He said, I love to talk with you. He said, you see things other people don't see. Now, he's a minister. He said, you see people things that other people don't see. Well, he doesn't understand this. I don't see it because I'm bright. I just stay over in the light as far as I can. And I find this out. As the light gets brighter in you, you can see further. I learned you can see out ahead, and I start seeing out ahead. I can see things that I can, oh, wow, didn't see that one before. So you want to walk in that. This is about covenant, and I want you to understand this. This is about a covenant you're in. God does not do this for you because you specifically are special. He does this for us because of the covenant we're in. We are in a covenant. And that covenant happens this. You could not enter this covenant any other way than to be born into it. Nothing else matters. Race, whatever it is, whoever has money, don't have money, has nothing to do with it. Not your station in life. It doesn't matter with any of that at all. It doesn't matter anything. None of that even counts. Then you must be born in it. Every Jew, everyone who was born out of the seed of Abraham was in that covenant. No matter who or what they are, any station that they were in life, that covenant was theirs. That covenant belonged to them. What God had given. That belonged to them. Just because they were born into it. They in their covenant they had the groups who were the priesthood. They didn't get to be in the priesthood because they were so great or anything. They just happened to be born into it. This is born into things of covenant is how it works. You need to understand it. Most people are trying to respond to the covenant by their works and their things and stuff. No, I'm in this covenant because I got born into it. This covenant is mine. This is why I'm an heir of Christ. Why? Because he's in the covenant. He's the guy that started this covenant. And his inheritance from God was given to me based upon covenant. It is mine. It's not going to be someday. It's never going to happen like that. It is right now. My destiny is set. right now. So we need to understand this. We're you know, when the Lord spoke to me about it, said this to me, why are my people trying to get me to give them what I already gave them? Why are they doing that? Well, he didn't say that because he didn't know why. He said that for my benefit in that way. It's because I'm sitting around wondering about people. What is wrong with Christians? And he'd say, well, why are they doing this? And I'm thinking, yeah, why are they doing this? Well, it's ignorance. It's ignorance in teaching. It's ignorance in people's believing about things. People, you know, I know Kenneth Hagin. I've learned this when I first got saved. He used to use this statement all the time. Christians read the Bible with their religious colored glasses on. See, what they were taught, they don't learn. They just read the Bible in line with what they were already told. They don't try to find out if it's true or not. We get constant statements. But see, we see this in our society. We can't, the church can't yell about it because the world does, you know. Somebody says, you know, somebody's a racist. And everybody, nobody ever checks it first, see if the person ever did anything racist or not. They just yell it. Why? Because somebody said it. That's the church world. God gets up and preaches something and they all run out and say it. I had a wonderful teacher. He said, if you can't find in the Bible what I said, don't pay any attention to it. 99% of ministers would never tell you that. Look in the Bible. Because much of what people believe, even spirit-filled folks believe, is not scripture. Or they will have a little bit of scripture and they build a doctrine, and you can't build a doctrine on their stuff because there's other things you need to know to build the doctrine, and they don't know nothing about it. But they build their little doctrine over here on this thing, and they got it. But they never find out anymore. They got, you know, 20% right and 80% wrong. And they're trying to live this successful life. They're trying to do something. They're trying to make a difference. Well, the Lord took the weight off my life concerning my family with the 128th Psalm. He said to me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. That's the first I realized about covenant. What he did, that's in covenant. See, that's in the Word of God. That's covenant. He's taught me covenant, which I realize, what's my job? My job ain't to, I can't take care of everything with the family. You will never follow God if it's your job just take care of everything with the family all the time. See, people take care. My God, my kid left the house and don't have a phone. What if something happens? Oh, but we're trusting the Lord. Say, no, you're not. You're trusting AT&T and Verizon. That's who your faith's really in. The rest of this junk. See, we get over this thing. We can't. You know what? I can go to sleep at night concerning my. I learned that then. I learned at that time. Wanda wasn't saved at that time. And I thought, it's going to be all right. This thing's going to work. But what I have to do is the same thing you have to do that most Christians never do. They don't live their life for God. They live their life for everybody else and everything else around. And I did this. I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You tell me what to do. That became my most important thing. Why? I love my wife and my children. God said he'd take care of them if I did what was right. So you know what? This is why many people pray for family members and nothing ever changes. If they would learn to walk in covenant, things would change. Why? They become God in everybody else's life. They become the God to their children. I told my kids, you better learn to follow God when they were younger. I said, because one day daddy's going to be gone. What you going to do? I'm not the God in their life.
Amen.
I'm not Wanda's God.
Amen.
Wanda has learned to know God. She needs to learn to know God. But there's one thing that doesn't. If I didn't walk right, if my dad hadn't walked right, I wouldn't be on the face of this earth today. People wonder why things happen. I can tell them. We can point the leader. I can just point down the line. Parents need to understand it. Walk and follow God. Quit playing all these stupid games and doing all this stuff.
Amen. Preach.
Your children ain't number one in your life.
Amen.
People got to stop this stuff. You do what God says. And if they don't want to do what God says, I don't pay no to God. Take care of it. When Alyssa went off to college, she went off to college, and which a lot do today. You got to, she went off. Well, she started getting away from God. She started getting away, and she started, you know, off. And I knew things weren't right, you know. There's never been nothing in my family. I don't know what's going on. Like Lisa said, she literally told Elena one time, with her tell Elena. She said, Elena, she said, always tell God, Dad, the truth. Because if you don't, God will tell him. They learned living around their dad. They learned he was spiritual. They learned his dad was spiritual. God would tell me. Well, I knew Alyssa's getting things, but you know what I did? Didn't worry a bit. See, I didn't spend night and day praying about this. Because the Lord said this to me. If you walk in what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. I have held it to him all these years since. Now, this is 1980 was when I started off, and I made that commitment. 1980, I was going to do it, and here we're in 2025. And I still do the same thing. I said, Lord, this is what I did, because I knew Wanda really got concerned about this with Alyssa and what was going on. And she had talked to me about it. I said, well, so I just said to the Lord, Lord, I said, look, you told me this, that if I did what you told me to do and walked in the way, that you'd take care of my family. So I said, Alyssa's getting off out here. And I said, Wanda's concerned about this thing going on. I said, there's a disruption in my family. I said, now listen, if I missed it not doing right, I said, you show me what it is. I'll fix it right away. We'll just do this. But if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you better get this fixed. See, we're workers together. I have the right to ask. He doesn't have a right to ask me if I don't have a right to ask him. See, people don't understand. People think, well, you just sort of push God around. I don't push God around. He shouldn't have made the covenant if I can't talk to him. If I can't have an expectation of him to do his part, we ain't got no covenant. I have no place to stand in faith for prayer. Don't have any at all. And I said to him, I expect you to take care of it. 2 weeks later, Lisa gets a call on the phone, calls home. I talked to her and she says, Dad, she said, I want to come home. She said, she knew life wasn't right. She said, is it okay if I come home? I said, sure, come home. But I said, you need to understand this. You come into this house to live. We follow Jesus. You go to church, you do this, you come to this house.
Amen.
You're my kid. I love you. I'll put you on the street. We have an expectation here. This is what we do here.
Amen.
And you know what? My kids follow God. And you know why? Because I follow God.
Amen.
See, people turn around. They turn around and let things go. You should never let go. There's one thing is that my kids grew up knowing. Daddy knows God.
Amen.
They saw miracles in the house. They saw their mommy and daddy do things that caused miracles to happen. They didn't grow up in a religious home. They grew up in a supernatural home.
Amen.
Well, we had to trust God. We expected for things that naturally don't happen.
Amen.
That became commonplace. So my kids learn this. Don't mess with Dad. When I worked at H.P. Reese Candy Company, people learned that. Don't mess with it. They learned it because they saw miraculous happen. I'd tell them such and such will take place. You watch. And it would happen. Oh. You see, we've lost. Why did all this happen? It ain't great. It's the covenant. It's a supernatural covenant. It's not this natural thing we have today that we call Christianity. We're in a supernatural kingdom. And it's like people today, why do people have all this stuff of movies and everything with all kind of, they love all this stuff and they, make all this so-called supernatural things that we got these supernatural people and they can do all this stuff. And then Christians sit around and talk about a supernatural God that's dead. You can't prove Jesus is alive if you don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk all, I was in a talk church. And all they did was talk about how great God was, and we never saw a great God nowhere. You might as well be reading comic books. They might as well read comics because that's all the Bible was a comic book. It was a thing. Why God's great? Well, what does he do? Well, he don't do anything today. He don't do nothing. He do anything he wants, but he don't do nothing. He's in a recliner. He don't know. He's not doing nothing. But that's the stuff that was going on. No, it is a supernatural. Our covenant is a supernatural covenant. Look at Israel. Now, we're talking about the covenant under the law, how supernatural it was. And the Bible tells us we have a covenant that's based on better promises. So I know this. The church is basically a bunch of backslidden buzzards. That's what they are. We have no expectation. We want miracles. Wanting miracles is not expectation. Expectation. If I expect something to happen, I'm doing, I'm waiting, this is the thing I'm looking for. I have an expectation this is going to take place. You're looking for it. We're not looking for miracles. We're trying to convince God he ought to do one. This is because of covenant. He covenanted to do these things. He covenanted with Israel to do things. If you do this, I'll do this. Sound like a New Testament. If you do this and you do that, I'll do this. This is about covenant. This is what a covenant falls under. This covenant will not just bless you, it'll bless your offspring. See, my offspring are not going to hell. I don't care if sometimes they look like they're living that way. They ain't going to hell. Because you know what? I have a covenant with God. You know, I saw my brothers and sisters. See, this is one of the reasons, too, is where I stood concerning God told me, living right and walking right, he said, I'll bring all your brothers and sisters in the kingdom. See, about covenant. It's about covenant. He's not doing this because Ed's special. It's because Ed learned some things about walking in faith with the covenant. And so he responds to you in that manner. You need to understand that with you. What's your expectation about things? See, if you don't understand the covenant that we're walking in, we have, it's a covenant is mine. I'm not trying to get it. I'm in it. The inheritance was given to me the day I accepted Jesus Christ. My inheritance is mine now. All the blessings, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I have it all now. Why? This is covenant. I have the covenant. Now, we talk about, we use from Galatians, we talked about the fact of Galatians in the Galatians, the third chapter, verse 13 says, now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That why the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that's not talking about the new birth there. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God he's talking about. He's not talking there. The promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. Why would he say the promise of the Spirit? We don't get, the Bible doesn't talk about, well, we preach Christ and we ask people, you want the promise of the Spirit? Now we preach to people, be saved. Why? It's the promise of the Spirit. We became temples of God. That's what we are. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Now, what I want to say to you this, if you back up and read the whole chapter of what's written in Galatians here in the third chapter, you'll find this out. He's talking to them about the power of the Spirit, talking about to these Jewish Christians who want to go back over to Judaism. He said, hold it, you guys have seen, you know the power of the Spirit. You know, now, they're Spirit-filled folks. He said, you can't go back there. He's talking about the Spirit. You got the promise that Abraham said, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. See, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that leads, what does that lead to? The supernatural. That's the power of the Spirit. You don't go to churches, don't believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they have supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That don't happen. They don't have that. They're not going to. See, God wanted you born again. Why? So he could come and live in you and demonstrate glory in the earth. That's the purpose. If he can't, he is limited. See, we need to get back over. See, I came into the kingdom during a time when people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost like crazy. That was the whole thing. God was emphasizing that. Today the same people have left that. They don't even do it. They don't bother with it. You know, we're just trying to get people saved. Well, God can't demonstrate his power through people just because he got saved. But people want power. Well, I found out the more I could yield to his power, the more it blessed my life and my family's life. The more you can yield to power, the more power it does for you. Doesn't just do it. We're not no doing God's will. We're doing his will and just keeping him happy. No. The more I do his will, the more he blesses it. The less time I have to spend trying to get stay in the bless me club. See, I don't have to worry about the bless me club. The Bless Me Club, I don't worry about it at all. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You follow the will of God and blessing will come to you. we can believe for things, but I'm just going to tell you what, you know, I found this out, you know, going working for people, doing really good jobs. You know, I found out this is blessing. When I'd work at places, I'd get blessed just because I'd do a good job. I didn't have to run around all the time asking for something because you do a good job. See, smart people do that. God's smart. He blesses. See, well, God seemed to bless some people more than others. Well, go find out what they do that you don't. Find out what they do. Hey, I want to see why certain people got blessed certain ways. I wanted to know. I wanted to bless. So I'd find out what they know that I didn't know. What is it I don't know that they get blessed in a certain area? I want to find out. Let me know. Because say, you know with me? Say, what do you do this just to get blessed? Yeah, what's wrong with you? You're crazy? You want to live in the not bless me club? No. God's a blesser. That's what he does. That's his nature. But we find out in the kingdom. But we find we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, one of the things of the curse of the law is this, that your children will stray away and not follow God. That's one of the curses. See, I don't understand why Christians pray and not damn right, not bay a bay about their kids. Hold it! I'm redeemed from the curse. My kids ain't going out and follow the devil. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help. No, stand up and say, God, you said I'm redeemed from the curse. And go over to Deuteronomy 28 and find the scriptures that talk about your kids straying off. Say, you said they wouldn't. I'm not under the curse. It's a curse. You think it's a blessing? See, when those people, their 19-year-old son died, was that a blessing? It's a curse. You see, we're redeemed from the curse. The curse covers all these things that would happen, so terrible, so awful, and see, it's about a blessed life. See, why you want to follow God. See, it says this, you know, it started off with them. In fact, maybe it'd be good if I just went back there and read it off of Deuteronomy. I want you to see this. It'll be Deuteronomy 28. It'd be good to see this. Now, Deuteronomy 28, the first verse of 28 says this. Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord our God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now, first of all, I want to read you this because of this. Now, we would take, this is the old covenant, the new covenant. We have a covenant, we have this, the new covenant is a covenant, is the commandment of love. Your commandment, you have a commandment of love. If you walk in love, you fulfill the rest of it. You ain't going to murder nobody and steal from anybody. That's not walking in love. You're not going to do those things. You'll keep the commandments of God. It's not hard to do. You walk in love, you don't do all that crazy stuff. Now, he said, if you do this, if you do all these things, what's he going to do? He said, I command it, and you shall be, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. This was spoken to the nation of Israel, his covenant people. Well, see, we're a nation right here. It says so. We have a national covenant, and it ain't America. See, all this stuff with race and a bunch of junk, we're all born in the kingdom. God said he would set us high above all the nations of the earth. We're a nation of people in this earth. We're a people. We're not of this world. We need to stop living like we are and acting like we are and bringing all this division on the outside into the church with all this race junk and everything else, dragging it into the church. And when that stuff comes in, the devil rules and reigns. If we follow this, God said he would set us on high above all the nations of the earth. See, we need to get over into these kind of things, is get into one. He said, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Many of us are led by the Spirit. You need to learn. See, we need to learn to be led by the Spirit, not by all this other junk going on around us and all this political stuff. And we're making such a big deal of all this. You know, this isn't much different. I saw the church go downhill back in the 80s and in the 90s. They got over and all these ministers started, they're running for political offices and all there, they become very political. They're writing all these political books. And I watched things, it's starting to go downhill and I thought, The church is, you know, we can be around in our government, do things, people can run. But number one, you can't trust the nation into the hands of people in political parties. You got to put your nation in the hand of God. If you spend more time watching those things and learning about those things, you'll spend more time talking about God about these things, get some wisdom on what to do. Because, see, God has wonderful plans. One of the things dealing with the blessing is this, that the other nations around Israel would fear them. There's no fear of the church in the earth. The nation of the church lives on the bottom. And it's because of the church. It's not because of the world. Is the church doesn't stand in their place. They're not taking their authority over demonic forces. They're not standing against them. So therefore, we live on the bottom of the totem pole. There's no fear of the church. There's no fear of people who aren't Christian attaching themselves to the church and call themselves Christians. There's no fear that judgment will fall on them. Why? Because if judgment falls, it's going to kill a lot of Christians because they're living like hell themselves. See, Ananias and Sapphira, when what happened to them, the Bible says this, he said, then they, speaking to the other people, they didn't come to them and hook up with them. It's like, oh, Stan, this is not some nice little cute, nicey group to hang up to. See, this is a group with power, and you don't live right, you could end up dead. There's no fear not to live right in the church. We have lost it. We've lost the fear of the Lord. We have no fear of God. We have no fear of not walking righteous, living righteous. There's no fear of those things. And we haven't passed those things on, and we haven't done, so people don't. They have no fear of doing this. I'm sorry. It's just the Bible. See, I like to look down and read all those blessing things, but I'm going to tell you what. The blessing runs out after 14 verses, and the rest of it goes through, and it's a real pretty sight. And it's curses up to the 68th verse. But it's every ugly thing. Now that's what you're redeemed from. Now let me understand this. You didn't get redeemed from that because you're good. You got redeemed from that just because of faith. So this is what you do. If you want to walk in the blessing, it's about faith. Your faith in God is the most important thing in your life. You can study all the prophecy you want. You can do all the things you want in that stuff. Your success is bound in your faith because that's where your righteousness lies. I'm righteous before God, surely not by works. I'm as righteous as God himself. You know why? The Bible says he is and I am and I believe it.
Amen.
I'm as righteous as God. Why? I have his righteousness. It was given to me by faith in what Christ's performance. That's the way I got it. See, we need to come together and start to walk by faith. The faith life don't get involved in all this other junk going on and all this other crazy stuff. The faith life, I trust God and he blesses. In the middle of all this crazy, God will do some good things. If I walk by faith, he'll do some wonderful things.
Amen.
You know what? I believe he could take this Charlie thing and he could turn it in the best thing that ever happened to the church if Christians would start acting right.
Amen.
Don't sit around yelling at the world about all this. The world's the world. I don't expect much out of them and most Christians. This way I don't get disappointed. Hallelujah. No, we follow God's right. And God is able to bless when man says, this is one of the things I've learned. When things look like they can't work out, Ed's got a miracle coming. Woo! I got a miracle coming.
That's right.
No, we believe only if things look good, then you're going to have good things. Well, then you don't know the life of faith. You don't know anything. You don't know about the glory of God. God doing something, you know, the mirror. The thing that you can't, faith is about what I can't see. Naturally, I can't see something glorious. But I tell you, in me, I have a vision of glory. In me, I see glory. I can't look on the inner man and get disappointed. I can't look on the inside and get a vision of, oh my God, who, what's going to happen? Oh, what's going to, you know, I can't get that vision. I can't get that. I look it on the inside. We're living in the latter days of the days of glory. Boy, I wish the church would figure that one out. They talk about reading the Bible, and they don't believe it. I'm sorry. They're days of glory. Hallelujah. Say, well, things are getting so bad. Looks like that's what I found this in my life. Usually when things don't seem like they're going to work out at all, that's the time God does something.
Amen.
You know, you don't need a miracle when everything looks good.
Amen.
What do you need a miracle for?
That's right.
See, I don't live by look like. I can't do that. I've learned. My body tells me things and I just tell it to shut up. I don't live by look like. I don't live by feel like. I don't care what I feel like. My body's going to have to feel like I'm telling it to feel. It's going to have to do that. Which is, I believe the unseen. I believe that what I don't see is going to happen to me. And I don't believe in something bad is going to happen to me. I'm believing something good is going to happen
Amen.
To me. This is about why covenant. Why? My righteousness gives me the right to accept anything that this covenant says I have. I have the right to it by covenant. It gives me the right. It gives me the right to stop and say, my kids ain't going to hell. My kids are going to follow God. It gives me the right. I have the right to do it. If it don't, then I ain't righteous. I ain't righteous toward this covenant then. Is God's righteousness good enough to get this done? You see, we have a limited area of faith. And this is why the move of God, this will change your prayer life. If you know covenant, it'll change your prayer life. You'll go to God and say, God, you said you do the prayer. This was going to happen. Woo! We're going to be doing it.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Oh, you're going to have all the naysayers. Well, yeah, they're weird. They're strange. You know? Well, they just need something bad to happen in their life. They do. See, I got something bad. I have to be around you. That's what it was. You're the thorn in my flesh. So, but hallelujah. The glory to God. It don't matter to me. I'm going to come out on top.
Hallelujah.
I've had lots of thorns in the flesh, but you know what? They don't bother me no more. I don't. You know, people can do and say what they want. We're just going to walk by faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I've given up my life a long time ago. I told the, you know, I will die for this gospel.
Amen.
It just, you know what? It's so valuable. It's so valuable. I understand Paul came to place and he said, you know, I like to part be with Christ. You know what? He'd die for the gospel. You get the point. Well, my God, I can't wait till I die. I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to heaven. See, most people, they're hanging on here to the earth. They're hanging and clawing to stay here like crazy. Well, most of the even Christians live, they ought to. they need to till they get some things right so they can go. Hallelujah. But see, you know what? They don't understand this. It's by faith. See, I'm walking by faith. I'm righteous. I'm going to end up in heaven because of my faith. I'm not going to have all of my great works.
Yes.
I never had a good work till I got Jesus.
That's right.
So I know this. I wasn't the good work king. So if I have any good works and it only happened after Jesus, there's a good chance he was involved in that. And since he's more powerful than me, then there's a good chance I didn't do much of it. Hallelujah. So it was done by faith. See, I learned this a long time ago. The anointing, they like to teach and to go into the Word of God, know the Word of God and that stuff. It doesn't happen because of him. Like tonight, I came, I have notes and that's, but I come and I'll tell you what, God will say, when the anointing comes, I become a different man. I'm thinking different at all like I was thinking about teaching. I mean, just totally different. The anointing comes, it comes completely different. It's God's Word. Now I leave here and the anointing leaves and it's just dead again. But it is. You know, people need to understand that.
Amen.
Most of the time, most of you see me is when the anointing will be. Wanda sees me the rest of the time and she wonders about me. I'm just telling the truth. She puts up with a win. See, God make you look good. See, why would you want people want to follow him?
Amen.
He'll make you look good. They don't see all the time the idiot you are. That's what I like about this. Put the anointing on me, it makes me look good. So you got to walk in line with this stuff, folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
and see, we want to walk in line. We're going to go on with this. We'll go on teaching more on this. But we were looking at the fact of this is like, it came to the promise of the Spirit. See, you and I are led by the Spirit of God. That's what we're supposed to be done, is led by the Spirit of God. And we need to do that. We have a covenant. And you have to understand your covenant. Your covenant is the basis and the foundation of your rights and your rights and privileges that God has given you and their benefit. When I found this out, that benefit would benefit others greatly. When I found out that my walk with God, understanding the covenant, would bless my wife and my children and my grandchildren, it would bless right down the line. See, I saw it with my dad. It's one thing as I understood when my dad died, because there became a problem then. The Lord told me, I spoke at my dad's funeral, and the Lord told me what to tell my brothers and sisters, and I talked to them about it. I said, the reason you guys have had really good lives and nothing seems to have happened to you. We didn't. I'm serious. Our family was so blessed. We had 9 kids. We hardly ever had any things ever happen in our family go wrong. I mean, everything ran good. Well, when I found out why God did for me, I found out my brothers are living, sisters are living off this goodness of my dad. See, I tell my kids today, I tell them, you're blessed in life because of me. Mm-hmm. Oh, who do you think you are? I'm the guy God said I am. I know. Mm-hmm. And they're blessed because of me.
Amen.
And they need to know. They understand that. Well, see, I got blessed because of my dad. And I told him, I said, Dad died. Can you bless your family? See, now you're going to have to pick this thing up. If you don't, you've been getting blessed by somebody else. This happens to families all the time. I see hierarchy go in a family, and then I watch a family slowly start to destruct. People don't take their place. They've been living off of somebody else's blessing. See, I found out right away I was living off my dad's blessing. I thank God I found that out early. And I said, well, you'd better get this thing right. But I decided if he could, if his walking right did it, I can walk right and my family will be blessed. Now all of their children are going to be in heaven. Everybody's going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Where my dad was the first of his family to follow God. And all his children are going to be in heaven because he walked with God.
Amen.
Now all of my children, they're going to be in heaven as we walk with God. People say, well, you can't know. Well, people say that. They don't know God. They don't know the covenant. The covenant's almost never preached. It's not preached. What's in this covenant? People talk about the covenant, but they don't know what's in it. When I found out what the curse was, I thought, if this stuff is happening in my family, this ain't right. This ain't God. God ain't doing this. I'm redeemed from this stuff. See, there's ties in people that go down the line from your genetics, from goes down to who in your family you belong to in your family. There's things of authority that you can do. There's things of authority I can do. There's certain lines I can't cross as people get over and walk in their own life. But there's things that I can do because of, you have to learn these things. And you got to get close enough to God to learn them. You keep walking around and all this dumb stuff you hear people preach today and all this kind of stuff. Well, we're just praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. I'm just going to tell you this. I never did much praying ever about my brothers and sisters. Never. God came to me and told me he was going to bring them in. God, you walked with me and did what I wanted you to do. I'm going to bring them in the kingdom. See, he found somebody else in the family that passed on from my father to pick up something. And it always goes this. It never comes to the person that don't live right or walk right before God. It never comes from them. So pick up in your family. You're in the kingdom. If you're born again, you're in the kingdom. Man, woman, whatever it is. You decide you're going to walk right and follow God. Don't get into all the rest of the messes about all the other stuff. Just get in. I'm following God. Don't matter. They can play their games. People do what they want. Hallelujah. Where I'm standing is going to come to pass. That's what's going to happen. When the smoke clears, me and the ones I'm standing for are going to be standing out of the smoke. That's what's going to happen. And when people stand like that, I just want to tell you this. Don't mess with them. It's a good way to get into depth, letting the devil kill you. There's people get over into things and they step into areas and they shouldn't step into them. It's not a good thing to see. I learned to stand. I don't have to fight. You know, I had a guy some years ago and got in some things. He got in some things about he was out of line. The Lord said to me, just let it alone. He said, I'm going to take care of it. I'll take care of it. Sometime later, he just dropped over dead, just instantaneously just dropped over dead. No, before, they never said he had any kind of problems or anything like that when he just dropped over dead. The Lord said, I'm going to take care of it. What'd he do? He turned him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Guy was a Christian living for the devil. He turned him over. You see, we fight too many battles. I've learned this, dealing with things sometimes, asking God, what should I do about this or that? Because it always isn't just jump in and you think you have the answer to them, but sometimes we don't. But sometimes, I've had people where the Lord told me, you need to go tell them, say something, you need to go say something. Sometimes just let it alone. There's a lot of battles I never had a fought. God fought them for me, and it didn't turn out well for the others. If you walk right and you stay right, just keep doing what's right. That's what you do. That's your job. Don't yell at the rest of the crowd if you ain't walking right.
Amen. Preach.
And these things work. It's just make sure you're walking right. God will take care of you. He'll look after you. I learned some wise things. Kenneth Hagin said lots of times you can't. I learned this as a young Christian. He said lots of times you can't talk to people in your family. He said they ain't going to listen to you. Because he said they won't admit that you know something they don't. And I learned it from being the youngest in the family. You know, the youngest don't know anything. All the rest of them are smart. I always thought when they get to heaven and found out God told me because of my walk. I wouldn't go say it to them, but I often thought about it. Yeah, God will deal with them on it. They ain't bright. They wouldn't listen. But you know what? I don't talk to them. You know what? Got them into the kingdom, and I don't talk to them about it. I don't talk. I didn't go with. I just learned. I realized they ain't listening to me. I ain't going to get in and bring fog into the thing and stuff by my idea, what I think I got to do. I got to be Jesus in this thing, for sure. No, I learned. They don't listen. What you do? If God can't get a hold of them, he ain't near as big as he said he was. And I want to find that out quick. If he ain't as big as he said he was, I don't want to waste no more time following him. But he's every bit as big as he said he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he's bigger than I've known him. Amen. And over the years, he's gotten bigger and bigger, but I'm sure he's a lot bigger than I know him. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you are so good and so great and fantastic. Hallelujah. Lord God, open to us this covenant. Open us to understanding about covenant. Lord God, we have nothing really from in our culture that even looks like covenant. Man knows nothing about it. But Lord God, a covenant is such a powerful, powerful thing. And you've made an eternal covenant with us. And Lord God, we want to understand it because Father God, as we understand it, it blesses our life. But I want to be just like my father of faith, Abraham. I don't want to just be blessed. I want to be a blessing and I want to bless the nations just like he did. Hallelujah. So I thank you. You're opening these things up to us to see that in this last day and time, a move of God, that Lord God, you can bring forth your glory and power and demonstrations of your spirit, Lord God, that just confound human thinking as we know it. Father, we know this. We've seen through time that you've done so many things that are beyond what's man's expectation or he can think. And you would do exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think according to the power that's in us. Oh, and there's a great power in us. The Lord God, teach us how to release that power. Release that power that's in us that your glory can be revealed. So we thank you, Lord God. All this mess and shaking going on in our nation, Lord God, I want to thank you. You're bigger than all the mess, all the shaking, all the crazy going on. The devil is not ruling and reigning. He will not rule this nation. He will not dominate over us because I'm here. And I have authority over him in the name of Jesus. He will not rule and reign. Jesus Christ will rule and reign. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.